The Black Panther movement. Does anyone remember the skit where Chevy Chase was interviewing Richard Pryor? They went back and forth with racial slurs, culminating with the white guy using the N-word and the black guy saying, "dead honky." That wasn't funny, but we laughed because the actors were hysterical. They were showing us how far our country had come from the 60s and the need for continued healing. Today, things couldn't be more different. We've become a nation that gives equal opportunity for success regardless of the color of your skin. Some today are determined to keep this illusion of white privilege alive. Eddie Murphy portrayed white privilege in one of the funniest skits I have ever seen. I wish I had written it. He dressed up like a white guy and walked around town. People started giving him things for free because he was white. At a checkout line in a store, the white cashier gave him a little wink as if to say, "You don't have to pay because you're white like me," perhaps implying that only black people paid. I don't think I've ever laughed harder. He is a great comedian and actor along with Richard Pryor, two of my favorites. Harlem Nights is one of my all-time favorite movies. Red and Della, are you kidding me? Excellent. Some in the black community would say that his satire of white privilege is a true representation of our country. These leaders of the black community seem to be doing and saying things to keep this facade alive. What's appalling to me is that they are doing it to our country and in the name of my God. Louis Farrakhan believes this quote of his, "The Jews don't like me and call me Hitler." Well, that's a good thing. Hitler was a very great man. No one on this planet believes that, so what planet is he from? The planet hate. He is for everything that God stands against, yet he calls himself a minister. He's a minister all right, a minister for the God of hate, and we all know who that is. Spoiler, horns and a pitchfork. Here is a good friend of Louis, Al, who is not too sharp then. Here is what he believes out of his own mouth. If Charlton Heston can have a constitutional right to carry a rifle, why can't grandma have a constitutional right to healthcare? I don't understand his logic. These things have nothing to do with each other. This is a racist comment. If a famous white guy can have a gun, why can't an old black woman have free healthcare? What is he talking about? Does this seem like something Jesus told him to say? No. I believe the Democratic Party has moved far to the right. I believe it has a bunch of elephants running around in donkey clothes. I wonder if the Democratic Party is far enough left now for Big Al. In the words of everybody in New England, are you kidding me? Did someone really make an unintelligent comment like that? He was saying that it was the Republicans' fault for the far-right views of the Democrats, though their views are really far left. His comment stated that Republicans were pretending to be Democrats to make the Democrats look bad. This guy should write sci-fi movies. That is such a divisive comment spoken about our leadership in Washington. It's a ridiculously far-fetched comment by a supposed minister of Jesus Christ. Do people really believe the words coming out of this guy's mouth? Does anyone in his or her right mind think Jesus had him say that? I do find common ground with one of the statements spoken by Al's good friend, Louis Farrakhan: there really can be no peace without justice. And there can be no justice without truth. And there can be no truth unless someone rises up to tell you the truth. On that we agree. I'm rising up to declare truth. My social comments are a direct result of God's views and my perspective. Someone is rising up and speaking the truth of God's word, which our great nation was founded on. I'm declaring injustices while desiring peace. As Christian men, we all have been born for such a time as this. I believe that these divisive, prejudiced, and racially motivated speakers are refusing to hear from their Father in heaven. Al's divisive comments and his ungodly actions and associations have proven to me just what he stands for. Our racial divide was operated on 50 years ago, and it has been healing ever since. In the movie Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Friar Tuck, my favorite character in the movie, is a big, strong, sweet-hearted, honest man of God. Near the end of the movie, while the leads are having the epic, conclusive battle, hysterical, the bad guy stole the scene, the good friar finds the evil, apostate priest gathering money he received. The good friar spoke of this minister's evil actions and then helped him pack for his journey and piled big bags of gold into his arms. As a Christian who understands the eternal consequences of leading many astray in the name of Jesus, I fear for Al's soul. I am a house painter and work very hard for every penny I make. Many of my customers are wealthy African Americans who have excelled in school and college and worked hard to get where they are. They push their children to do the same. Doors open for them as a result of their hard work and diligence from an early age. Those same doors did not open for me because of my irresponsibility. Allow me to explain. My dad took on a second job for 4 years on an assembly line bagging plastic cups so he could send me to Austin Prep in Reading, Massachusetts. I got straight A's the first 2 years. I was making the most of my opportunity. But I got lazy and irresponsible, and my grades dropped, I had 2 B's, 3 C's, and a D my senior year. I threw away my great opportunity. I quit college after 1 semester and stuck my dad with the bill. I was being irresponsible. It had nothing to do with the color of my skin. Did you act like me in school? Were you irresponsible? Did you blow off homework, mock teachers, and played the cool, tough guy? Are you African American? Do you find yourself like me living week to week desperately trying to get by? Do you think just because you have black skin you deserve more than I do? Do you think black lives matter more than white lives? That's not right. I'm every bit as important as you are. Can't you see that by saying black lives matter you sow division? All lives matter, you're just focusing on black lives. Why are you trying to divide America along racial lines? How can you sit during the national anthem? That is no different from burning the American flag and should have the same consequences. Doing that shows disrespect for our country. The very thing you claim to be standing against you end up promoting seemingly with no concern for the ramifications of your actions to our great country and to all the children who look up to you. Can't you see what you are doing? Please stop. You're spreading anger and division through your actions. In the words of Gandhi, be the change that you desire to see, not a duplicate of the one you claim is there. I worked in Long Beach a few months ago up by Signal Hill. I did not see another white person during the 4 weeks I was there. Every day, 15 people would come up to me asking me to give them money. Quite often I did. I've always been a soft touch because I try to show forth Jesus and I just care. I would see them a block away crossing the street making a beeline to me. They never asked each other, only me. One morning, I was eating breakfast at McDonald's when this big guy came up to me and asked me for money. I opened my wallet and saw 3 20s, 2 1s, and a 5. I gave him $7, which was a lot for me, and I expected a big smile and a thank you, which I would have considered my reward for showing compassion to a stranger. I just wanted to be a help, you know? What he said next, I'll never forget. If I give you $3 and this 7 back, could I have one of those 20s? I stood up very slowly as if I were in a movie, looked him square in the eyes, and very calmly with love said, I have an old car and lousy living conditions and I'm a little behind on support payments. I gave you all I could. Then I said, come to think of it, I could really use that $7 back. I never saw anyone run out the door so fast. You need to be careful that you don't portray the unfair image that you say is put on you with your actions. When you do that, it is not an unfair image, it is an exact image of who you are. You are not what you claim to be, you are what you do and say. That is truth. If you steal, you're a thief. If you lie, you're a liar. If you act ungrateful, then you are ungrateful. This racial division is being fueled, and it isn't always the white's fault. Yes, horrendous injustices occur, people are getting away with murder, a heartbreaking tragedy for all involved. But that's not the fault of our nation, individuals who perpetrate crime should be persecuted to the full extent of the law. I have a hard time respecting black leadership when I see a 5'2 white female cop who wouldn't hurt a fly have a 6'5 black man pouring a barrel of water on her. All I can say to whoever committed that grievous offense, and he knows who he is, why don't you pick on someone your own size you bully? Where are the Black Lives Matter leaders, the champions of social justice for the black community condemning these actions of the black community? It's almost as if they're hiding under their beds during events such as these and saying nothing because we all know that white people deserve it. That's not true. Getting back to my job in Long Beach. One day, this guy came by and asked if there was anything he could do to help. I told him I was working for someone else and didn't have the authority to hire him. He nonetheless walked around the job site picking up trash and helped me fold my drop cloths though he wasn't getting paid. I called the owner and said I had a guy who could help a little. I asked him, why don't we give him $100 a day for a few days? And he said that was fine. The next day, the man came by to pick up trash again, and I told him the good news. He worked all day and received $100. I was so happy that I started to cry as I saw him walk home with 2 big bags of groceries and a pocketful of money. I got down on my knees and thanked God for letting me be a blessing. I wasn't touched because I helped some black guy but because God allowed me to be a part of helping a brother in need. Very different from, can I have that 20? Right? When you discuss social issues, do your best not to offend people. Most issues are not black and white, and it's important when speaking truth not to take a side because the goal is usually finding a compromise that brings unity. However, when talking about the principles of God and those who represent them, there is no compromise. Those who spread false doctrine concerning the word of the Lord and bring division to our country should be held accountable for that. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17:22. Being happy and laughing does a person good. I must have written and performed hundreds of funny skits portraying different facets of life in church productions over the years. The trick to performing is to be bigger than life, loud, exaggerated movements, huge expressions. What looks over the top on stage barely seems like anything in the audience. All my skits were like stage productions, live theater that forced us to improve with each mistake or miscue. It was super fun and super nerve-wracking. I became known as the guy who made gigantic props, stage scenes, and was bigger than life on stage, hence the nickname Mega Prop. I grew up influenced by Monty Python, Mel Brooks, and Chuck Jones and all his associates at Looney Tunes, including the great Mel Blanc, you know, real thought-provoking humor. I never liked stand-up comics because they always seemed to insult others, not even funny, you know, like SNL, mean-spirited. Whatever happened to Chevy, Bill, Dan, Garrett, John, Gilda, Jane, and Lorraine? A great cast and great skits that made fun of both sides in politics. Those who can't laugh at themselves are a little too prideful and full of themselves. I was going to share a hysterical skit about a babysitter named Nanny Baloney trying to calm down four out-of-control babies, but I will not do that because I know that that side of the aisle will have a baby and the other side will use it as ammunition. One of my favorite delights over the years has been doing children's church ages 6 through 12. One of my favorite forms of communication has always been puppet skits. I must have done 500 over the years. Back in the late 80s, I purchased a few of the one-way street puppets, and the kids thought they were real people. The puppets had wires to their hands so I could make them gesture. I hope the kids had as much fun as I did, but I truly doubt it. It's important not to let them see the puppets on the ground, only when they are in action. They become real like Miss Piggy and Kermit. Here's my skit. I did it to myself with two sock puppets and laughed so hard. I'm not being mean-spirited, but sometimes when you see yourself portrayed like this, you can sit back and contemplate how people perceive what you're doing. This is just a silly satire. The scene opens with two African-American puppet ministers walking onto the puppet stage from different sides. One says, "Good morning, Reverend Sharpen." The Reverend looks at the audience and then back to the other puppet and says, "Black." The other says, "I'm looking forward to this weekend to share the message with my church. How about you?" The Reverend looks at the audience and then back at the guy and says, "Black." The other minister says, "I better get studying so I'm prepared for Sunday. I'll see you later." The Reverend again says, "Black." While the Reverend is on stage by himself, he walks around saying "Black" a few times and then he bends over and says, "White," as if he were about to vomit. Suddenly, a big yellow duck comes on stage. They look at each other, at the audience, and back at each other, and the Reverend says, "Black, black." The duck looks at the audience and then back at the Reverend and says, "Quack, quack." They continue to look at each other and begin to go back and forth slowly saying, "Black, quack, black, quack," faster and faster. Suddenly, a real person comes beside the stage, and all three of them look at each other, at the audience, and then back at each other. The Reverend looks at the man and says, "Black," and then the duck says, "Quack." The person turns to the audience with a bewildered look on his face and says, "I'm confused. Which one is the duck and which one is the schmuck?" Curtain closes. God loves you, pal, but you're breaking his heart. Please stop with these divisive accusations against my country and especially against my president. You're not fooling anyone, and you're breaking God's heart. I have a question for all of you, Black Lives Matter leaders. What are you doing by going to my city, Boston, and protesting the heterosexual march? You called them hateful all day long as they honored God proud to be heterosexual. What are you talking about when you call them hateful? What actions of theirs do you perceive as hateful? That march had nothing to do with hate or black lives. Are you going to show up at all events from now on telling us all right from wrong? Read the Bible if you want to know right from wrong because you're not doing any good right now. You were wrong to stand against the Boston march, and you were wrong to sit down during our national anthem, which makes you 0-for-2. The gentleman who started the anti-American anthem movement claimed to have good intentions. Let me ask you something, sir. If someone has good intentions to stand against abortion but then tries to assassinate an abortion doctor, do you consider that a good intention? Think about what you did by refusing to stand the first time and how it affected our nation. Did you still have good intentions the second and third times, or were you racially motivated? Do you believe in the teachings of Farrakhan and his movement? Did you read his statement I cited earlier? There can be no truth until someone rises up to tell you. Are you telling us right from wrong with those unpatriotic actions and statements? Are you happy with what you started? Do you see the danger to our country you started? You bit the hand that feeds you, sir. Our nation has made many of you young black athletic millionaires by offering you the NFL. In my opinion, You slap your nation in the face by disgracing all those who gave their lives to protect our way of life and our national anthem, which is no different in my mind from burning our flag or dropping it in the dirt and running on it the way that soccer girl did after winning the championship, seemingly to protest her dislike of our great president. Such behavior is disgraceful. She insulted all of us with her smug and shameless action. I believe that God has given us this great man for such a time as this. We love you, Mr. President. We are incredibly indebted to you. God bless you, Mr. President, and your wonderful wife and family. Has anyone in the black community ever considered these 2017 statistics? 12% of our country's population is black, 16% is Hispanic, and 64% is considered white. Blacks are 33% of the sentenced inmate population, Hispanics are 23%, and the 64% majority of whites make up 30% of convicted inmates. Consider this view of mine if you will. The Black Lives Matter movement seems to be preoccupied with whose fault all the problems in the black community are. I would suggest that you stop blaming everyone outside that community and focus on the real problems that seem to be inherent to your community: lack of fathers, lack of discipline, lack of education, lawlessness, the list goes on. Just so you know, that type of behavior has consequences to it, and this is at the heart of where you find yourself as a black nation. You see, it's not this great nation's fault or even that of the white people. Just a heads up here, you're starting to become like the new Black Panther movement or something, so I would chill out if I were you. Now we are forced to watch this young black activist who knows nothing about what he is preaching except what he believes, which is probably Farrakhan's teachings. He was just some young college graduate who was good at football. Now, he has gone too far with the Nike sneaker campaign, and it is dividing our nation over race all to sell some sneakers. Despicable. Because of Nike's desire to promote division by creating sneakers showcasing and promoting the day wealthy young black athletes refuse to honor our country just to sell sneakers to the young black community, I have boycotted all Nike products. Nike put the value of the dollar over the value of our country. Its actions will eventually cause social unrest. Remember the LA riots? Though I don't have much money, I always tried to purchase Nike clothes and sneakers because they were the best. Now, because of what it did to my country by creating those sneakers and divisive ad campaign, my spirit will not allow me to spend another penny on its goods until Nike pulls that campaign, removes the sneakers from every shelf in America, and has a spokesman for the company apologize to all us God-fearing and God-loving American citizens. Should it be allowed to do business in our country with actions like those? Is there some way we can stop it and close all Nike stores? What they are doing is unpatriotic. If we allow this, what's next? Black Panther t-shirts? Thanks, Nike. You're really inflicting damage with this one. I hope it's worth it for you. I pray that everyone joins me in this boycott of all your products. I've taken a can of black spray paint to all my Nike clothes. I made a circle around the swoosh emblem and put a line through it and wrote "No Nikes" in the same style as "No Nukes." I am infuriated and beyond consolation. I wouldn't mind if you went bankrupt and all your competitors stole your market. Good luck. In the words of Buzz Lightyear, you are a strange, sorry bunch of little men. You have my pity. If SNL wanted a good skit, it could use my Nanny Baloney skit. It's reminiscent of the first season, hysterical humor. But it would never do that because it's biased just like the media is. This is true, social injustice in America today. 2020 could be the greatest America ever, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. I seem to remember a great American who was one of the greatest proponents to unity our nation has ever seen. He declared, "Cause we're all the same, the blood inside of me is inside of you. I don't see color when I look at people, so why do you?" In the words of Lenny Kravitz, "Let love rule." Getting back to my point with our nation. We are built on godly principles. Jesus forgives us and gives us liberty freely and says, "Don't use this liberty for an excuse to sin," meaning, don't take advantage of my great freedom to do whatever you want. I share here one of the worst cases of social injustice our nation has ever stood by and allowed to happen, and perhaps the consequences of it. Before we can understand God's perspective on this case of injustice, let us see how these things affected God in the past. God is gracious, but judgment can sometimes eventually come. When the Israelites turned their backs on God as a unified body, God gave them time to correct their injustice. God sent them prophets so they would understand His displeasure. After that time passed, the enemies of God overtook Israel, causing great hardship and loss of life, which usually caused the Israelites to repent. What we don't understand is how that came to pass. God puts a hedge of protection around His people that the enemy can't penetrate. We see that in the birth of this nation. What really happens through corporate injustice and disobedience is that a crack is eventually established in this hedge of protection and the enemy is then allowed to sneak inside and wreak havoc. That's one reason God is forever looking for a godly man to stand in the gap of this crack to protect his people and to encourage repentance. The picture would be the boy who put his finger in the dike to stop the water from bursting the dam and killing everyone. It's not a matter of God judging everyone with death, but the fault of the people for turning their backs on God and allowing injustices to go on and create a hole in God's protection. God says something very interesting concerning one of the worst cases of injustices in the scriptures, the story of Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel because of jealousy and hate and was reprimanded by God. And he, God, said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Genesis 4:10. Abel's blood cried out to God. Abel's blood was crying out for God's justice. On that note, please allow me to continue. At 12:10 on June 13, 1994, a man savagely executed two sweet and innocent people, Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. It was one of the most horrific crime scenes of the century. "Please don't view it, it's far too disturbing," the coroner concluded that a large, strong man was the perpetrator. In 1998, Nicole Simpson called 911 because her husband, O.J. Simpson, had beaten her, which the arriving officers could attest to. Simpson pleaded no contest. When the officers arrived at the Simpson home to inform him of his ex-wife's death, but he had already hopped a plane to leave the scene. They then discovered blood on the vehicle and a bloodstained glove. When Simpson returned, the entire country watched that Bronco drive down an L.A. freeway. We all knew he was guilty. That was the most famous car chase in the history of our country. In 1995, the entire country watched as the verdict of not guilty was rendered. That was possibly the most famous court case in the history of our country. Despite the overwhelming evidence against him, a predominantly black and female jury simply ignored the evidence and refusing to convict a famous and rich black celebrity. They rendered a verdict that divided the nation over racial lines, the treatment of celebrities, police conduct, and domestic violence. Again, it was very strange that when our country needed him the most, the often outspoken Reverend Al was silent. "That's an indictment against you, sir. What do you stand for? You never told us what you thought back then, did you? How about it, Rev? Do you think Mr. Simpson committed those two murders? How do you think God feels about it as a minister? I'll give you my opinion. I believe that it was also an indictment against our country for allowing it to happen. I believe that it was our fault, America. Just as Abel's blood cried out to God for justice, so did Nicole and Ron's, and it still cries out to God for justice to this very day 25 years later. I believe that we caused a crack in God's protective hedge and that the enemy was allowed a moment to wreak havoc. About 5 years later, we experienced 9/11, and about 5 years after that, Simpson went to jail. I'm not saying that's what happened, but a student of the Bible should consider it. Today, I see America in the same place of decision. My question is, are we going to corporately as a nation allow this new, horrific injustice to play out, or are we going to rise up in unity as a country and say, that's not right? I am referring to the mistreatment of our president. His entire term has been marred with injustices, false claims, and strategic and diabolical schemes by the highest ranking officials that have corrupted our judicial system, and the list goes on. What he's been able to accomplish despite all of that is nothing short of selfless, historic, and very heroic. Mark my words, America. If you don't do something, the consequences could be catastrophic. Just as in the O.J. case 25 years ago last June, we are to blame, America. This is all our fault. We are allowing it to happen again. Please stop. We're allowing the enemy to destroy our country. I'd like to think I am a caring and concerned man, and I hope with all my heart that something will jump out at us here to rally hearts to turn from that destructive behavior. But at the same time, I'm feeling all those compassionate feelings I've been trying to explain. I'm also having these feelings. I couldn't care less what you do. I've just become a messenger of sorts, that's all, like an Old Testament prophet. I'm at Huntington Beach every morning praying for us and throwing beach sand on my head and fasting and praying for God to forgive us like the lunatic that I am. I've been trying to serve God for the past 33 years and have become to some extent, I guess, like John Constantine. I've been battling in the spiritual realm against spiritual wickedness in high places, in low places, in middle places, and maybe even in a few more places. What's going on in America is nothing short of demonic in nature because it's all based on lies, and I'm just the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That's all that I can do. The rest is up to you. Be baptized in truth or don't be. You have a choice, America. You can do nothing and deal with the consequences, or you can rise up and demand truth from the one-sided media that's distorting it. So, I wrote all of these social issues back in July 2019, and sent them to the publisher in November 2019. I told some friends back then that it would not be long before we saw a duplication of the LA riots all across our nation, and they all called me nuts. Not so much now, right? All that's happening is designed to be a wake-up call to us, America. Wake up and see what you have become, America. We are calling evil good, and we are calling good evil. It's time to wake up and turn from that behavior before it's too late. If no one is going to rise up in this nation and take the bull by the horns and turn this nation around, then I believe God Himself will. We wear His name as one nation under God, and we are defiling it. We are showing the rest of the world with our actions that this is what God is like, and He's fed up with our disgracing His holy name. He built us up to be a city on a hill for all to see, and we continually defy His principles and exalt those that do so. I believe He is rolling up His sleeves, figuratively, as we speak, and is about to get personally involved. That's not a good thing to be happy about. We're about to get a spanking, I believe. So, continue to be that way, or change. It's your call. God bless. Black Lives Matter, you make me sick.